in John, the first chapter. These Bibles are, you know, broken down. They've been translated and worked with, and we have chapters and verses, and we have divisions, and we have organized ways that we can search the Word of God. We have concordance, and we have all kinds of glossaries and dictionaries and helps here and there, but there's nothing any better than just the pure Word of God coming as you read it with a sanctified heart and a made up mind, and you know, having been delivered from sin through the blood of the old rugged cross. Amen. You know, you can't get saved except you go through the blood of Jesus that came from that cross. Amen. It's there as a cleansing, purifying, washing away, forgiving, healing. Everything necessary for your salvation can be found at Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. The gospel according to John, it says in my book. This is actually the gospel according to Jesus. According to Almighty God who inspired John to write these words. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That needs to be your beginning also. In the beginning of everything you do, God. Everything you start to do, in the beginning, God. And the Word that's with God is still God. And we need to keep that Word in our hearts. If we would consider in everything we start to do or say, at the beginning of that, whether it be words or actions, God, you could save yourself a whole lot of mess, a whole lot of trouble, a whole lot of confusion, a whole lot of running in circles. Everybody say, in the beginning, God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. And we know from the study of the Scriptures, He is also the ending of all things. And all things in between. He is the creator of all things. He's that which was, is, and is to come. The same words are used about Jesus Christ. But we have some understanding here. You see, there is understanding that we're to seek for. You go to the writings of Solomon and some of the wisdom words. And we are instructed to seek for understanding. We need to search out wisdom and understanding. If we get God's understanding, we don't have to depend on man's traditions. We get God's teaching, we have it right, no matter what somebody else may think that they have figured it out to be. There have been many times that I have had to adjust because I didn't have it figured out quite right. You ever had to adjust? If you're able to make adjustments, you can probably be saved. It's these people who can't bend, can't change. I was in a meeting once and I heard a man say, I know I said that and I'm sticking with it because when I say something, I stick with it. But what he had said was not right. It's okay to change and even apologize sometimes if you say something or do something wrong. But there's a thing in the world called stubbornness, and some people seem to grab a hold of that. And it seems to be involved in everything they do. But if in the beginning God is, then you very well may find Him to be in the ending of it all in your life also. God never starts anything that He can't finish. God never starts you on any journey that He can't take you to the finish line. He cannot fail to reach His goal if you stick with Him. You might have a lot of questions And you wonder, you know, how am I going to make it? You wouldn't be the first one that had these questions. How can this be? What am I going to go through? This is a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. Faith sometimes is not necessarily believing. It's just going along with God and trusting. Because, you know, it's not unbelief. It's never unbelief. But sometimes it's just difficult to believe that you can really get there from here. And so you just have to put your trust in God, because I tell you who has all faith, who really can move mountains, who really can make a difference, who really can cleanse the sick and the lepers and cleanse the sinner, who really can heal and set people free. The faith of Jesus Christ is all you need to make it all the way. He knows where He's going. And when we don't know where we're going, just hang on and say, Lord, I'm going with You. And I'm glad You know the way that I take. I'm glad I don't have to lean to my own understanding. I'm glad I don't have to depend on me. Thank You, Jesus. There were times when I was a little boy, my daddy would let me drive the car. He would let me sit in his lap, hold my hands on the steering wheel. I couldn't reach the pedal, but that was all right. He had his foot on the pedal. He had his feet near the brakes. He also had his hand on the steering wheel. I was just sitting in his lap. And when it came time for a correction, he didn't dare turn loose and let me do it. I'd already made a lot of messes just playing around on bicycles and go-karts and wagons. But he did let me sit there and feel good about being in the driver's seat, about being in the place where it seems like I'm at the controls. But there never was one moment during that time of my life when my daddy didn't have his hand on the steering wheel and his foot on the accelerator or the brake. There wasn't a time when he depended on me for anything. And if it hadn't been for his ability to keep things in order, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have known exactly what to do. I wouldn't have been able to stop the car. And I really didn't know how to guide the car. And that reminds me of how God operates with His children. He lets us ride with Him, sit in His lap, but He's got His hand on the throttle. He's got His governor in place. He is the righteous governor. Amen. When things start to go a little fast, He knows how to slow it down. When we're going too slow, He knows how to speed it up. When we're going a little too far to the left or to the right, He knows how to put us right in the right place. But He lets us feel like we're doing it. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to be able to change from something bad to something good. And it's really you. And it feels like you did it. You pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps. Even going in that water and getting baptized, you're going to feel the water. It might even be cold. But see, you're going to have to take some steps to get down into that water. And we're going to say some words. And we're going to put you under the water. But in the beginning of all that is something called God. And no matter what we do, as we get into the water and go under the water, and as instructed in the book here, we do all that we do in word or deed in the name of Jesus, because there's no greater name. And you can't go wrong when you use that name. And so if there's ever any doubt, just go ahead and do it, because Jesus' name is going to be all right. It's always all right. Hallelujah. We pray in Jesus' name, and we do a lot of stuff in Jesus' name. After all, isn't Jesus God? In the beginning of my life. And so we just get in that water. It'll feel like you're really doing something, Sister Ann and Brother Ernest. It'll feel like you're really doing something, because you're going to take some steps and you're going to get down that water and you're going to go under the water in the name of Jesus and come out. But when all is said and done, if it were not for what God is doing, all we'd be doing is just getting wet. Hallelujah. It's God that does the baptizing. It's God that pours out His Spirit. It's God that applies the blood of Jesus Christ to our lives. We cannot earn it. We cannot cause anything to happen that we could say we deserved it. We should never boast that we knew what to do and how to do anything. But if we could just line up with the Word, in the beginning of it all will be God. In the midst of it all, there will be God. And when we get to the end of it all, we'll have God. Hallelujah. I just don't have any better sense than just try to obey Him. Feels good to try to obey God. Feels like I'm doing something. Really, all we're doing is riding on His lap. Thank you, Jesus. But that's better than being somewhere else, doing something else. I would rather be there in the comforting arms of my Jesus than anywhere else. Wouldn't you? In the beginning, everybody say, in the beginning, God. Amen. And the Word was in the beginning with God and was God. All things were made by Him. By who? Everybody say it. God. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now this is talking about John the Baptist, who went into the wilderness telling people that there's one coming after me, preferred before me, who's greater than I. I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes. And he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said his fan is in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge his floor. The wheat he will gather into his garner. The chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is talking about that John the Baptist, came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then it gets really technical here. Talking about in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And it says here in verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on what? His name. If you believe on His name, whose name? The one that came into the world. And if you read this just like it reads, the one that made the world. Hallelujah. I got a song that I wrote years ago that says, Jesus made it all. And I've been questioned about that song many times by people who say, well, He only was born 2,000 years ago. How could Jesus make it all? You know what the salvation name of Father God is? It's the same name He gave to His only begotten Son. His Son received His name by inheritance, according to the Word. It was a name above all names. And that's why the angel said to the parent, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from sin. Nobody can save anybody from sin but God. I'm talking about one God, not three gods, not two gods, not four gods. One God. There is only one God. Amen. Now, confusion sometimes comes as man tries to figure this out. And they try to pluralize God with man's understanding. But God is more plural than what man can figure out. There's a whole lot more to Elohim than three persons in the Godhead. He is so much more. God is so great. And God made all things by the power of His might. When He said, let us create man in our own image, He wasn't talking to a little committee. He was talking to all the plurality and all that God is and all that God would consume and be a part of. Everything He would create, could create, and wanted to create. One place said He counseled with Himself. You ever talked to yourself before? Because there was no other. In fact, He said in some places, He said, I will have no other God beside me. There is no God beside the God that's in the beginning, that is God, and that has a word that is the same word that He speaks. When you speak, doesn't that word come forth from you? Amen. That word does not come separate from you. It becomes, you are your word. God is His word. His word spoke from His own ability to speak. I don't understand God because He's spirit. He's everywhere. He's all places at all times and above all things and before His creation, bigger than all things created. And when He spoke and said, let there be, that word that came forth was with God and was God. And later came and dwelt on this earth and came to His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Sons of God, the ones that believe on His name. Sons of God, the ones that believe on His name. The name of the one that was the Word, that was with God and was God. The name of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There is no other name greater. Jesus is the greatest name given. The only name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we confess Jesus as Lord, we're giving Father God the glory, because He is the Word of God the Father. The Word is in the Father, and the Father is in the Word. You can't separate the Word from the one who speaks it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in the Word tonight. Not arguing. I just love God's way of teaching better than man's. I love to read the Bible more than the commentaries. All these commentaries give you somebody's idea. Then a lot of times they are good ideas. But I like to know something about what I'm reading, where it's coming from. The Bible says all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Thank you, Jesus. That God moved on holy men of old. The Holy Ghost moved upon these people. It was God who inspired His Word to be written. And so when I need an opinion, I'd rather just go to the beginning, to the Word, to the one that was God, is God, and say, Lord, how do I go forward from here? He always says, start with God. You know, that song I wrote that I sing sometimes, Starting All Over, I wrote that in a time when I was going through it. I had a church board that had risen up against me. I had somebody that had written letters accusing me of lying to 350 church members. Because I told a sister I'd visit her in the hospital at 11 o'clock and I didn't get there till 11:30. And there was this thing of, well, this fellow, one of my board members, who was also a rich person who was kin to a bunch of people in that church. This is years ago. It's all water under the bridge. It's all forgiven under the blood. They've all asked for mercy. I forgave them all. So I'm just telling you something, just as an illustration. No bitterness. It's not something that, you know, just bothered me. I don't have to go see a shrink and get this out of my system. I'm just telling you what I was going through when I wrote that song. Thank God for deliverance, and thank God for the experience. All these things do work together for the good of those that love God and are the called according to His purpose. And the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Everybody say, full of grace. Full of grace and truth. And when you get this word of God, full of grace and truth, you've got this mixture that's difficult to describe. It's like being real kind and real stern. It's like being real compassionate and really determined. It's like being very loving and putting your foot down. I mean, Jesus healed people, and then he went into the temple and turned the tables over and drove people out with a whip. And he yelled to them or said to them in a way that they could hear it. And I'm sure if he was turning tables over and striking people or trying to hit them with a whip, which he was well able to do if he wanted to strike them. After all, in a few days, they were going to be using a whip on his back. But he was very capable of hitting his target. He was the same loving Jesus that loves you tonight. He was a Jesus full of grace. He was a Jesus full of mercy. But he was saying to those people, my house shall be a house of prayer. My house is a house of prayer. Then he turned the tables over. Stop this monkey business in so many words. Stop what you're doing. My house is a house of prayer. And he would whip and turn the tables over. This merciful, loving, graceful Jesus, full of grace and truth. It's not all just everything's cool, everything's nice. No, there is a discipline. That word discipline comes from the word that is used for the word disciple. There is a discipline in leaving all to follow Jesus. It's not the works that you are doing. It's a requirement that God has if you're going to enjoy his grace and mercy. You've got to enjoy it in the truth. Full of grace and truth. Jesus said to the woman at the well, when she was trying to figure all this out, who this man talking to her was, he said these words to her. He said, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, the Father is seeking for true worshipers. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I'm in some good stuff here tonight. If you can hear this, this is not theology. I'm just giving you only the Word of God. Everything I'm bringing you tonight is straight from the Bible. It just doesn't get any better. You might find some that can speak better than me, maybe not slobber as much as me, but I'm giving you something good here tonight. I'm really giving you something good here tonight. I'm talking about grace and truth, spirit and truth. The Word that was with God is God and will always be God, and he wants to be your beginning right now of everything you do. In the beginning of everything, God. In the beginning of each new day, God. No matter what you're involved in, what you're starting out to do, God. Thank you, Jesus. In the beginning of every way that you take, God. Hallelujah. That's why it's good to have a Bible nearby, because you can get the Word which was in the beginning with God and was God right in front of you. So if you're not really sure what it says about a certain situation, go to the Word and God will be there with you, because God's Word is even alive as you read it. Thank you, Jesus. In the beginning, God. So theology, you know, 315 A.D., the Nicene Council, people got together because there was a little fuss going on. Some people kind of fighting that were in the, you know, all the disciples, you know, Jesus had called them to follow him because he's going to make apostles out of them. And they became apostles. And years after the cross, years after the day of Pentecost, they wrote what God inspired them to write and gave us the details of what all happened through the Gospels and Then we got the writings of Paul telling us how we should operate in the churches and what we should do in order to maintain our salvation. But it was important that these people obey God. And so in their writings, they wrote as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're reading the Bible, I don't care if it's from one of the apostles or it's one of the prophets. If you're reading the Word of God, that God is well able to preserve. If He created all things, surely He can preserve this book and make it read so that we can find understanding in it. When we're reading it, we just need to accept it as the Word of God. And when we do that, God Himself will teach us and lead us if we will abide in His Word. Thank you, Jesus. It can become a roadmap to heaven, a roadmap to a better life, a roadmap to victory, a roadmap to satisfaction of the longing soul. Something that you can find that's always there, no matter what year or century you live in, something to satisfy a need now, because God is in His Word. As you read it and you seek after God, when you start out the beginning of anything, God. Thank you, Jesus. So we read the writings of the apostles. Now, a man in Canada, he took the book of Acts in his hands because he didn't agree with the book of Acts. You know, if a man or a woman can take a few pages in the Bible and say, these pages should not be in the Bible, if they can make that kind of a decision, they can wake up tomorrow morning and decide these over here don't need to be there either. Or they can go back here and say, I don't like the way this reads. Let's tear that page out. Next thing you know, they'll have a Bible that only teaches what they want to believe. If you come up on any scripture, whether it be New Testament, Old Testament, Gospels, the writings of Paul or any of the apostles, and you don't agree with it, pray through. Go back to the Word. Go back to God. Start all over. See, I got this. It has a piece of a fly on it right here. That little fly had a mama and probably, you know, had all kinds of plans. But, you know, what God does to a person that won't do it God's way is this. And you know, when he gets to swatting them all, they're all still alive. Except you get punished by the Lord for your disobedience. You can expect yourself to be in bad trouble because he just does this because he loves you. You're moving the wrong way there, buddy. Stop it. I love you. Line up. Listen to the preacher I sent you. Get along with each other. Stop that. Stop it. Stop it. And he gets to swatting all these crazy, disobedient. And he looks at them, and they're all just still crawling around. So now what's he going to do? He gives them His Word again. My mercy is as new as the sunrise every morning. I will gather you unto myself. Come on. Let's start all over. Let's just start all over. I may swat you again, but I'm going to love you and help you, and I'm going to heal your wounds. We're going to bind up whatever was broken. Praise God. I'm going to take you with me to a better place. He just gathers them up, and he says, I love you. And the only reason I did that is because I care. You're destroying yourself. I want to help you. Because if he wanted to kill you, he could. He is a God that's well able to take that swatter and go, and you're out for good. But his chastisement, hallelujah, has with it not just truth, but grace. Grace and truth. A man called me a few years ago. He was dying in the hospital. He said, Brother Rutledge, you remember that night when I went to the building shaking my fist at everybody down in that church that you pastored and I was being such a mean person? He said, I'm dying now. He said, and he started crying. He said, I just want you to forgive me. I was wrong. And he said, I just got caught up in the division in the church and I chose sides and I got carried away and I want you to forgive me. And he said, because he said, I don't want to die until this is straightened out. He said, I don't want to be lost. And I said, well, brother, and his name started with a V. And I'm hesitant to talk about these things because a bunch of those people in that church watch us and listen to us every week. So I'm trying to be nice, folks. I'm only talking about the bad guys that lived way back then. Remember? It's a long time ago. But he said, I'm dying and I need forgiveness. As he cried, I said, well, brother, I forgave you the night you did that. And all is well. And guess what? God healed him. He's still alive today. Amen. Preaching. But he needed. You know what God did to him? He said, you should have done that. And then he loved him. Loved him. It was the word of God that put that in his heart. To start new, put God first in your life. Start off with God. In the beginning, God. When he picked up that phone and called this preacher, that was a new beginning. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't have any doubt he probably would have died because he was on his deathbed. But there's something about obedience to God and starting new with God. It heals cancer. It heals heart conditions. It takes away brain tumors. It makes the crooked places straight. It causes people who are delirious with fever to suddenly be well. There's something about obedience to God and starting fresh and new. If I were you, I would work out all my plans, whatever they may be, to always start with God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's come up here and let's just praise God. God needs to be the very first part of everything you do. And he has a name. Whatsoever you do, in word. Or indeed, in word, or indeed. When you go to get baptized tomorrow night, we're going to be saying words, and we're going to be doing something. We're going to say something, and we're going to do something. Whatsoever you do. Everybody say, whatsoever,
whatsoever.
You do.
In
word,
or indeed,
do all,
in the name
of who? That's the way we're going to do what we do, and that's what we're going to use when we say something. We're going to use the name of Jesus. Oh, there's something wonderful about that name. Thank you, Jesus. You believe on it, you have the power to become the sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man changed it to try to fit what he wanted because of a fuss going on between some bishops. And a man said, okay, let's try to settle the argument. And let's tell people they got to worship God in this way. And so they tried to put a couple of equal persons beside Father God. But to just take it in the word as God explains it himself. And the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily. When you get to heaven, you're going to see one throne and one sitting on that throne. And he's going to have a name that we're going to baptize people in tomorrow night. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the beginning, God, oh, help us, Lord, to start our lives new. To start now new. To let this moment count. In Jesus' name.